Morning.
Turn this on. See if it works. Nope. Not wanting to work now. There we go. That should be better. Alrighty, so we're going to continue on in our study of Matthew here. Still got about 10 more chapters almost left. About 9, actually. Today's lessons are going to be a little bit more difficult to swallow. I am going to warn you ahead of time as we partake in it, or as we are getting into it. But we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 19. And unfortunately, this is one of the chapters, or I guess fortunately for us as we're studying it, to understand God's word. But the world does not like this chapter at all, is the best way to put it. The reason that people do not like this chapter is because it goes against a lot of what they think and what they are taught and what other people around them say. But this is an excellent study for all of us, including myself, who's unmarried, someone that is married, or someone that is questioning why in the world they're in this marriage. This is a wonderful, wonderful lesson and wonderful chapter to study in depth. So where we're going to be in is Matthew chapter 19 is where we're going to be looking at. But before we get into that, one of the classes I'm taking, I wanted to point out that the instructor said something that was very powerful, something that was very, you know, flipped a switch for me that I wanted to share with everybody. We have problems in our lives. And who's the people that we normally go to? We normally go to those people that say, pat you on the back and say, this is a good thing. It's okay to do this. You know, they just want to make you feel good. They want to make you feel happy. Sometimes that may or may not be what God says is proper. But because it makes us feel good, that's what we go after. We love to listen to the people that comfort us. One thing I've seen is, in my generation even, there's been a lot of things that have been changing. Even in Newton, of a small town, I know that's not really much of a small town compared to here, but small town Iowa, something like somebody going through a sex change was never, it was unheard of. But because of the use of internet and such, he found people that would support him, people that would encourage this gentleman to go through with this. And unfortunately, this gentleman is becoming, at least in appearance, what a woman it looks like. And it is a horrible, horrible thing that is going on in our world. And because we are seeking the comfort of those that pat us on the back and say, okay, you're doing a good job, instead of going for God's word, this is how we have things that are messing up. The fact of the matter, this is where the instructor made a comment that I really was impressed with. When we have somebody that murders another person, does that murderer get to decide what his punishment is? Absolutely not. How is it that when we commit a sin, that we can argue that the punishment is any different than what God has spoken? Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, if we will. I know I said we're going to be in Matthew 19, so keep your hand there if you've already opened. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We see here what God commands us. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has already commanded or already stated what the sentence will be, what the punishment will be. Before you commit any sin, you know, without a doubt in your mind, that God has said the wage for that sin is death. Now, if a murderer knew that he was going to face 25 years in prison or whatever so forth, chances are he probably wouldn't do it, but he shouldn't be anyways, but that's not the point. The fact of the matter is, this isn't a personal opinion. You, me, myself, or everyone in here, everyone in the world is a sinner. The wage, the cost is death if we do not follow God. Let's go back to Matthew 19. Now that we've got that out of the way, we know because we're the criminal, we don't get to dictate what our punishment should be. Only God is allowed to do that. So with that in mind, let's study this topic. And what the topic is going to be is about divorce. And unfortunately, this is a sad, sad situation that goes on in the world. So verse 9, or chapter 19, verse 3, we have Pharisees, as they're always doing. And, you know, we probably would have done the same thing. They're asking an important question here. It says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? So to understand what they're asking here, we need to understand what was going on at that time. At that time, they had three major teachings that were being taught by rabbi. I have their names, but they're not important to us. Now, the one thing we need to realize, first of all, is that the Pharisees are not uneducated men. These are men that have studied, and they really should know the word, but they want to put man's word before God's word. So the passage that they are remembering, that they're studying, that the men's teachings have been going on about, comes from Deuteronomy chapter 24. So hold your place in Matthew and turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. And we're going to see what Moses was giving instructions on divorce at this time. 24 verse 1, it says, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her hand and send her out of his house. And you continue reading on and seeing what that is about. Well, I want to focus on just verse 1. Each of these three different rabbi, these teachers at the time, they had a different perspective on what this verse meant. And we're going to see that some of them kind of sound familiar today. So the very first one, the example that we've given, is one that we should know, that is God's way, and that is some indecency in here refers to sexual unfaithfulness. Somebody that has committed adultery in a married relationship. Now, the Hebrew words here is ervath dabar. I know it means nothing to us, but it's just there that we have it. Now, the next man that we're given an example of is a popular thinking of theirs, and they just look at the word dabar. And that literally just means a thing of indecency. This was to say that a man could divorce his wife simply for cooking his food wrong, for not salting the eggs properly, for not folding clothes properly, for whatever reason that he felt he was disrespected, disgraced, for whatever reason, he could divorce that woman. That is one of the more popular teachings that the rabbi had at this time. We know that there are some, there's actually a religion out there that takes it even further. That not just divorcing their wife, but they go to the fact of murdering them for being such a disgrace. Yet, strangely enough, this is one of the popular or more supported religions in our country these days, and it's unacceptable. The third man took it a different way. He saw that the word, that she find no favor in his eyes, meant that he could divorce her because she wasn't pretty enough for him anymore. That there's this other girl that looks a lot better, and she would make him happier. Kind of like trading in for a new car, isn't it? Treating a woman like this, that's disrespectful, disgraceful, and we know from studying that this is not what God intended, but this is what one of the popular teachings was. That is why the Pharisees are asking this question is, what reason are you giving us, Lord, that we can divorce somebody? Interesting enough, if you want to look at these teachings, the teachings of these rabbi were specifically only for men. Strangely enough, we don't see that in the New Testament, we do not see that as being the case. We see that a woman can, under certain circumstances, as well as men, under the same circumstances, go through a proper divorce. However, let's continue reading. What's interesting to see is Christ is dealing with a lot of the same things that we deal with today. We see people divorcing people just because, you know, the eggs are cooked wrong. We see people divorcing them because there's a prettier model out there. We see any reason on the earth for the two people not getting along that they quickly divorce. The problem is, it was going on 2,000 years ago. It's still going on. So the teachings that Christ gives us in Matthew 19 still apply to us. They still apply because they're still going on. We can relate to it because we understand the things that are going on. With that in mind, let's look at Christ's response to the Pharisees. And we're going to see that it wasn't quite the answer that they were expecting. Matthew 19, we're going back there. We're going to read verses 4 through 6. It says, "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." I'm fully aware that he's quoting in Genesis chapter 2 about Adam and Eve here, how God is the one that put Adam and Eve together. God is the one that puts man and woman together. Since God is the one that's putting these two people together, and he's very specifically saying that let no man, male or female, pull them apart, it doesn't matter if we go to the courthouse, file for the paper. If we go to the psychologist is going to tell us, well, you know, it's probably in your best interest that you go through with this divorce. That's not what's being said here. Man's not going to tear you apart. Man's not able to. The problem is a lot of people, they seek these answers, and that's they get the answers they want. They get the answers that they need, or they feel like they want to hear to make themselves happier. The fact of the matter is we're not truly going to be happier unless we do it God's way and only his way. I was looking at a website, looking up for some statistics here, and if you wanted to ever look it up, there's plenty more information than what I'm sharing here today. But the website was divorcelawyersformen.com. Kind of ironic. But anyways, some of the interesting facts to know about divorce is that every 13 seconds, someone files for a divorce. Every 13 seconds, according to this website. Imagine a lesson is usually about 30 minutes. If you can do the math, I already done it for you. That's roughly 138 people, by the time this lesson is done, have filed for a divorce in our country. That's a lot of people. 138 people in a 30-minute time span. According to this website as well, it says over 50% of their children see their parents divorce during their lifetime. 43% of children live without their fathers in their life. 41% of all marriages end in a divorce. From the statistics gathered on this website, it stated that the average marriage lasts only 8 years. The average marriage. This is including all those divorces, second and third marriages, so forth. The average marriage in America, unfortunately, lasts only 8 years these days. That's barely my son's age. That's not very long at all. Again, if you notice that it was almost 50% of the children didn't even know their own father, didn't live with their father. It is a horrible thing. God did not intend for it to be this way. That's the point we need to pull out. What God has put together, let no man pull asunder. God did not intend for it to be taken apart. And we are going to see a little bit further than that. This has strictly been something that man has done. When it comes to divorce, we've seen that it isn't man's decision on what qualifies to be good. We've seen, since we were criminals, that we don't get to dictate our crime or so forth. But because we're not the ones that put the marriage together, we're not the ones that get to dictate how to pull it apart. God has given us very specific very strict instructions on what qualifies. And we're going to see that here in this chapter as well. Or what is acceptable, put away your wife, as the Pharisees were asking, and what the popular teaching was. Matthew 19:9, if we'll look at that. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth also commit adultery. We see here that God's instructions are very, very, very specific. Except for one reason, can you actually divorce your spouse and then remarry? Let's make sure we're clear about that. It says you're not allowed to remarry. There's no gray area here, folks. There is no fudging this. You are not allowed by God's standards to divorce and remarry except for a fornication. We're going to look at another one where it isn't quite divorcing, and we'll talk about that in a second either. I want to look at something really closely here. Something I've tried pointing out before to folks when I'm talking to them and studying with them. Again, if you read the end part of it, it's not even saying that you're sleeping with this woman. It's saying so long, or husband, whatever, so long as you're even married to them, you are committing adultery. Think about that. Somebody that is not properly divorced, somebody that's not able to, by God's standards, remarry, if you marry that person, they are committing adultery. Again, this is not an easy subject. This is not something that you tell anybody that just because you want to. It's because you want to. I love you guys. I want you all to understand this lesson. And this is a very serious subject, as I said, for everyone. Married, unmarried, whatever the situation may be. We have to, though, cast aside our emotions. God's word is black and white in this subject. Very black and white. It's by God's authority, by his standard. He has the power to tell us yes or no, whether or not we go into heaven. It's not going to be my opinion as to whether or not you get into heaven. Therefore, we have to follow his way. If we do not, then we're in trouble. Romans chapter 7, let's get into that. Romans chapter 7. I'm going to read in verses 2 and 3. We're going to see the other example is, and I'm not going to call it really divorcing, but we're going to be talking about the person when they've passed on. Verse 2, it says, "For the woman which hath a husband is bound by law to her husband so long as she liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, shall she be called an adulteress? But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Again, it's not quite divorce. It's the person's passed on. Clearly, this is also a lesson that we teach. If you continue reading on, it deals with the Old Testament, New Testament. When the Old Testament's died, we're no longer under it. Same way with the spouse. If the spouse has died, you're no longer bound to them. Only two ways to be able to remarry is if the spouse has committed adultery or they've died. Those are the only two acceptable ways in God's eyes to be able to remarry. I want to point out something very clear that you have to read kind of in between and see. God's not saying if you decide to separate for a little while, that it's wrong. He's saying you're not allowed to remarry. If the spouses decide, you know, we need space, we need time, he's not saying that's wrong. He doesn't like it, and we're going to see a verse about that as well, but he's not saying it's sinful. He's saying that remarrying when not properly divorced in the manner that he's assigned, that's where the problem is. Remember that God is the only one who gets to dictate whether or not we're doing it right or not. Set aside our emotions. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 7. We're reading a good section here. I'm talking about the unbeliever. Talking about, say I was married to a woman who was from the world. Didn't believe in God. Is this acceptable to divorce her? Just because she doesn't have the same beliefs? Let's look at this. It says, "And unto the married I command ye not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" I want to pull back here to verse 15. It's saying that it's okay that they depart. Nowhere does it say that this contradicts anything else. Nowhere does it say that these people are allowed, in God's mind, to remarry. If they decide to depart just because they wish to depart, it's okay. They're not allowed to remarry, though. That is where the sin comes in. There is clearly only two reasons given, and I'm saying to divorce in a way that we understand divorce as. Having the spouse committed fornication, they're allowed, I'm going to stress that. It's not commanded. They're allowed to divorce. Or save if the person dies. You're no longer under bondage there. I want you to reread some of those verses on your own. Make sure I'm not giving my opinion. I want you to understand that. Study it, read it, make sure I'm not giving my opinion. Make sure you understand God's word. Because God's word is what's going to get you into heaven. Not Albert's. That's for sure. We've seen Christ's opinion here. Or Christ's His commandment. If we went back there in verse 9, it says, "And I say unto you." He's got authority here when he speaks. "I say this to you." The only reason to divorce is for this. He's not saying divorce as the popular belief was at the time because the cooking was wrong or the ironing was done wrong. Whatever the reason may be. Or possibly that they found a newer model girl. God is not, or Christ is not commanding this. He's saying this is the only reason you're allowed to. This is the only other reason. Again, we've seen the separation was not the sinful act. What was sinful was remarriage. Now again, I want to point out Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. And I want to show you that God does not like it. Let's just put it that way. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "For the Lord of God, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously." Do not put away. That he doesn't like it. But it does not mean it's sin. However, I'm not encouraging it. Please do not take it that way. I want to make sure that is clear. But we see just in this little section here, God's opinion on it. God's view on it. Hearing and reading God's word is the only way we're going to get to heaven. Following it. Hearing doesn't just mean simply, okay, I heard what you said, okay, we're good. It's following. It's doing it. It's an action. You got to do something about it. God created us. We've seen that in Genesis. Created us. If I created something, don't I have the right to tell it what it can and can't do? Or what the rules are for that creation? If I say a piece of art is this and that's what it is. God says, this is what I expect from you. And if you don't do this, the wages of sin are death. Now it's kind of been a, I feel a cloud in here. We've seen in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're not going to heaven unless we study God's word, unless we fully understand what he wants to say. We need to build upon our faith, and we do that by not just reading it as a good book, but going in at it in a perspective that we see what God says is true. It doesn't take a really high level of education to understand what God says. A child can understand this stuff. Stop putting our opinions inside here and trying to make it fit. Take God's word for what it is. We learned last week that God said he would not fail us. And God is not a liar. The question is, do you believe it? Hebrews 11:6 says that we must have faith to be able to please him, and we must believe that he is a rewarder. Now, if we simply stop there, we've seen in James chapter 2:19, if we stop the belief, then there's no difference in us than the demons that are out there. We've seen that the demons even believe in Christ, and they tremble. They knew who he was. They knew he was the Son of God. But if we only stop like the world wants us to stop, right there at belief, we're no different than them. I really, truly hope there's nobody in this room that wants to do that, and I don't think there is. The fact of the matter is, though, that if we're having struggles in our life, if we're not doing it God's way, if we're trying to put our own opinions into this, we're in sin. God wants us to line up to him. Do it his way. We must repent. Luke 13:3, again, tells us to repent or else there will be death. Kind of been overhearing it and been talking about it in small talk about how the world wants us to believe that God is the God of peace and love, and he is, but they think that that means that he's not going to actually harm us or punish us. But we see that God is the God of truth, not of deceit, not of lies. If he says that we don't follow his way, that price is death, then that's what it's going to be. There is no sugarcoating that part. If God says it's death unless we repent, that's what it's going to be. The world wants us to believe otherwise. Do not listen to the word. World, listen to God's word. Upon repenting, we also studied this a little bit this morning, is that we need to have a desire to want to follow God, follow Christ. And we must confess that he is the Son of God. And that confession not just means that, okay, yeah, he's the Son of God. Almost everybody knows that. This is a confession that, okay, you have the right to tell me what to do. You have the right to say, Christ has the way of telling me these things are right and am I wrong in my life. We're putting ourselves in subjection to him. That is what the confession, in essence, means. In Matthew 32:33, we see that if we confess Christ, he'll confess us before God. That is the only way, each and every day of our life, that we are able to escape that wage of sin, is if we confess Christ every moment, every day of our life. Not just the confession, but living it. So it's not just a once and done type of thing before you're baptized. And speaking of baptism, Acts 2:38, Peter tells us that we are to be baptized for the remission of our sins, to be forgiven. If prior to your baptism you were taught anything else, anything different, I would be questioning it. I wouldn't take chances with it. If we aren't doing it God's way, he says it's death. No exceptions. I know I get told I'm black and white quite often, and now I keep repeating it, but that's because God's way is black and white. There is some, but we need to understand it's death or heaven. There is no option C. If you haven't followed God's plan, you've been taught it. You've seen the steps of salvation here. We know what we need to do to get our life corrected. Or if you're somebody that hasn't been living properly, the invitation is open for you as well. I hope to encourage you all to come back this afternoon. I'm going to continue. We're going to study looking a little bit more into some of the actual harder stuff into this topic of divorce. And it's a very interesting subject, honestly. So if you would, if there's anybody that needs to come forward, now's the time as we stand and sing.
Affections been nailed to the cross. Is my heart right with God?